T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Joining us live, Catholic journalist Rocco Palmo, who broke the story of Malone's resignation just the other day. Rocco, it's over, just as you said in that tweet. Is this the way you expected it to unfold?
Well, first off, good morning. But this is, again, well, for as exceptional as the circumstances are, this is basically what when I was tipped off that this was coming over the last 72 hours, this is how resignations of bishops, appointments of bishops unfold. So it's a very dry release, of course, from the Vatican. But what's interesting here is that in a statement that's not released to the public normally, but was released by the Vatican Embassy in Washington, it was made clear that, unlike, and I heard one of you guys use the term retirement in terms of Bishop Malone, this is a resignation. There is no such thing in the Catholic Church as really retirement for a bishop. A bishop retires at age 75. He may resign earlier in case of ill health, or if there is something else, in this case, massive scandal, that inhibits his ability to effectively govern. So any portrayal of this as some sort of grace and favor move is frankly preposterous.
It's interesting because in the statement that former Bishop Malone released just a few minutes ago, he's calling it a retirement.
Well, that's how he wishes to describe it, but that's not the reality.
What now should we expect moving forward with Malone? He still refers to himself as I believe the title now is Bishop Emeritus of Buffalo, says he's available to help in any way, yet he's not here in Western New York. He's not expected to be here to make any sort of statement following this announcement.
Well, he already did make a statement, a 3-page one, but basically from this point forward, Bishop Scharfenberger is immediately in charge of the diocese until the next bishop is installed. As things stand, because there are currently 20 dioceses already vacant or expecting new bishops in this country, but Buffalo is going to be moved to the top of the pile. Sense among bishops, sense in church circles broadly, is that the situation has already dragged to excess, and so no further delays, to the degree it's possible, are going to be put on you guys. You've already been through enough. So, optimally, there should be a new bishop in place by Easter. Normally, it would take 8 months to a year, but again, this is going to be fast-tracked to the possible degree. And once that permanent successor arrives, it will be up to him, in consultation with the Vatican, to determine the extent of what kind of public role or activity Bishop Malone will have. Ostensibly, again, given how royal the diocese is, it would seem that there's not going to be much of a role at the beginning, at least, for Malone, because, again, it's just the visible reminder is just... is more than enough to, and doesn't really lend itself to a sense of healing and a sense of moving forward. Now, of course, again, Bishop Scharfenberger is going to be doing double duty. He's already a full-time Bishop of Albany. So he's already announced this morning that he is going to be in Buffalo once a week, at least, through the course of this transition. But he has already said, he's going to have a 10:30 press conference this morning at the Catholic Center up there. He's already in Buffalo. He arrived last night. But, he's committed himself to, quote, listening and learning to the greatest degree possible among the people, which, of course, he's going to be a very important figure in consulting the Vatican and advising on the needs of the diocese more fully toward the appointment of the ideal next bishop.
We're live with Rocco Palmo, the Catholic journalist who broke the story of Bishop Malone's resignation, which has been accepted by the Vatican, by Pope Francis. Rocco, what benefits does Richard Malone get at this point with this resignation?
Well, basically, as with any priest or bishop who's no longer in active ministry, running a diocese, running a parish. In the case of Bishop Emeritus, the national norms for resigned or retired bishops state that there to receive a stipend of at least $1,900 a month, adjustable by local cost of living index. You know, he's entitled to home and you know, and benefits and everything like that. The diocese where he served, in this case Buffalo, of course, is supposed to provide that. Now, from my understanding, I know you guys confirmed it last night, but I had heard that Malone was already out of town ahead of today. He has a personal home up on Cape Cod, and so again, at least at the beginning, the sense is, you know, that he'll be remaining there. However, one thing that's interesting is, of course, the bishop had sold the prior bishop's residence in Buffalo and had rehabbed the convent, I think in South Buffalo, to which he had moved. Of course, that residence will belong to the permanent bishop of Buffalo, so some sort of living arrangement for him as bishop emeritus is going to have to be figured out. You know, and obviously he's not going to be returning to that residence. And you already have one retired bishop there, Bishop Ed Kimmick. So, but again, there's a lot that still remains to be resolved. I would hope, in the sense, of course, on the part of the Pope and on the Vatican, is that, you know, at least folks begin to feel that the diocese can, you know, begin to move forward, begin to heal, and begin to rebuild. But of course, you know, among other things, one call that's going to face Scharfenberger potentially within weeks, if not days, is Chapter 11 bankruptcy for the diocese. And you know, you're already party to over 200 lawsuits and under the Child Victims Act. So the resolution of all of that, what a settlement is going to look like, what that's going to mean in terms of, you know, the future of diocesan institutions, schools and parishes, you know, I mean, for as much as the diocese has been in crisis mode in terms of abuse and disclosures over the last 18 months in terms of the, again, the legal and the financial stuff, and moving forward, you know, this is really where the rubber hits the road now.
You know, one of the things that a lot of people in the diocese and also some of the people who have been working with victims was expecting was that this move that was announced today would not come until that Chapter 11 bankruptcy was filed as a way to kind of have Bishop Malone be the person who decides to file for bankruptcy, get that out of the way, and then the next person in charge would have a, you know, quote-unquote so-called clean slate and wouldn't have to deal with as much in this abuse crisis as he would. Are you surprised that that didn't happen?
Yes and no. Again, just judging by what we're seeing in terms of, you know, that it was ostensibly made clear to Bishop Malone when he was with the other bishops of New York State for a long scheduled visit to the Vatican last month, and that's when the conclusions of the earlier, what's called the apostolic visitation, the Vatican investigation of Buffalo took place through October, were revealed to him. Basically, they said, you have to go one way or another. You're no longer staying in office. It's, you know, clearly Malone was at best reluctant to resign. And if he had not submitted his resignation, I would venture that Pope Francis would have forcibly removed him from office, making him only the second American bishop upon whom that step has been taken. So, you know, I don't see much, just by the way this whole situation has unfolded, you know, much kind of a sense of obligation on Malone's part to clean the deck, if you will. But that's part of the reason why there is an apostolic administrator. You know, it's usually that person's job, Bishop Scharfenberger in this case, to clean up. And so he will make, and see, the thing is, normally under canon law, when a diocese falls vacant, as has happened this morning, that the board of directors, if you will, local priests, about eight of them who are called the College of Consultors, would meet to elect one of their own, a priest of the diocese, as the diocesan administrator. But when you're an elected administrator, you only have limited day-to-day authority. By naming an administrator, you know, which the Pope, of course, is free to do, Bishop Scharfenberger is fully empowered, has all of the rights, obligations, and responsibilities of the Bishop of Buffalo. So making, say, that Chapter 11 call, you know, having to, say, perhaps alienate property, sell property to pay for settlements or to pay for extraordinary costs to the diocese, he has all of that authority from right now. And he's a canon lawyer. He's also a civil lawyer. So he kind of has a sense of, you know, what's going to need to be done. But again, this poor guy is going to be kind of juggling two places. But clearly, because Buffalo is a five-alarm fire, it's, you know, certain emergency things there are, of course, going to take priority for him.
Do you make anything? Is there some reading in between the lines to do in between these two statements? You look at the bishop's statement. He says that the apostolic visitation was, you know, not. He was made aware of the conclusions of the report. It was a factor, but that was not his decision to resign or retire, as he puts it. Meanwhile, the diocese, in releasing a very short statement, saying, this is the quote from the diocese, Bishop Richard Malone was made aware of the results and subsequently asked that he be granted an early retirement from the Pope. Is there anything you can read there that's pretty contradictory, the two statements released at the same time this morning?
Well, again, I think that second statement you're citing is from the Apostolic Nunciature of the Vatican Embassy in Washington. It was released by the diocese because normally the nunciature wouldn't release statements on its own. However, I'll just limit myself when on seeing that Malone had issued a three-page statement just attempting to justify himself. A church source in New York State this morning texted me and said, God help us. I'll leave it at that.
Wow. Rocco, we appreciate the time this morning very much. Rocco Palmo, who broke the story of the exit of Richard Malone from the Buffalo Diocese. It was accepted by Pope Francis just after 6 o'clock this morning when it was posted on the Vatican Bulletin.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.